Wah bam 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 to the boot. Oh boot.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Can Do Experiment. I am your host, Can Do.
And I'm your co-host, Heavy.
And today we are recording at Watson Slade Barbershop here in Essex. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, Justin, for having us.
No problem.
Speaking of, he is one of our guests today. And we also have Jake of Seam Ripper, correct?
Yes, perfect. Seam Ripper Solutions.
Solutions, sorry. I thought I forgot something. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Very well, yeah.
Awesome. I'm really pumped to be here. So let's start with Justin. Who are you as a person, airsofter? When did you get into the sport? All that kind of stuff. With the full background.
Full background. So I've been in the hair industry for about 17 years, focusing in the barbershop for the last 11. I started the grooming line of Watson and Slade back in 2020 due to the COVID and solution, like that situation.
Yeah.
Both me
and great time to start, by the way.
You had to figure out whether or not to try to pivot and try to bring in a different source of income because both my wife and I are self-employed. So it's just like we were both told that we're not permitted to work. So it's just like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Find something. So I was like, well, I dusted off an idea that I had about 13 years ago. I wanted to start my own kind of white label and bring it into the industry and stuff like that. So then I dusted off the idea, looked at it again, did my research, and then brought out a face and beard wash, a pre-shave oil, an aftershave balm, a beard oil, and a beard balm. Currently we're running one scent and an unscented line. Mm-hmm. And the shop has been opened. Now I've branched out completely on my own, and the Watson and Slade brand is an idea that I had actually from my own family. So Watson is a rescued dachshund of mine that I've had for 9 years.
Oh, nice.
And then Slade is my son's name. So everyone's like, oh, comes in, is like, who's Watson and who's Slade? It's like, well, it's actually like, it's my little guys at home. Like it's my fur kid and my real one.
Oh, just heartwarming and sobbing at the same time. Oh my God. Okay. So when were you like, I really want to do, I'm sorry.
What was that?
It's just the puppy thing.
So when you have a dream and you know, when like, and then,
I'm sorry. I just kind of blanked because I'm still thinking about Watson and Slade.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I'll cut all that out.
I'm just thinking of a dog and a baby, and they just cuddle. It's just
they do.
Oh fuck!
Just tearing up and everything.
Slade right now is a big hugger, and he actually will lean in and give my dog a hug and like give him a kiss and stuff like that.
See?
So it's
I gotta leave this in.
Fuck,
that's so precious.
It is actually really precious. It's adorable. Having that bond with a dog is that's the idea. Like the boy and a dog. So that's the name is just being in a small community and being family oriented and everything else like that. So it's just like it all to me all kind of fit together of creating the brand in Essex because it's the community. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's beautiful. Like I'm still a little choked up about that. That's just so sweet and I just love it. That's okay. Awesome. Jake, we're switching gears here. Yeah. Jake, what's up? How have you been?
Not too much, honestly. First of all, super happy to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for having us.
As for my little, I guess, story.
Yeah, when did you start airsoft? Why did you get into airsoft? Whole backstory.
Okay, well, I guess I started airsofting when I was about 11. I wanted to buy my first little BB gun, whatever, actual airsoft gun, the clear soft Springer M4s that we all had when we were kids.
Naturally.
I went and actually labored bricks and blocks for my grandfather, and I earned the money, and I went to Canadian Tire, and my grandparents helped me buy the...
At 11. Okay.
Just a backyard plinker pop cans, right?
Yeah. So I'm just thinking the labor as an 11-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been working since I was a kid.
That's illegal these days, by the way.
When it's your no-no sidewalk,
no
personal project. Yeah, But yeah, no, anyway, from there, Airsoft just kind of grew. And when I turned 18, I hit my first game, which was a 32-hour milsim. It was Op Art.
That was your first game, was a 32-hour milsim?
Yeah, Op Art of War at Finch's Field. It was honestly the best experience I've ever had for Airsoft, and that set the bar for me. So,
who was running that?
That would be, I can't even remember Finch's first name, but that was when, like, Guardians of Asgard was around. Like, this is 10, 15 years ago now. It's been a while. So,
that's nuts. How do you even prep for that as a...
A lot of reading and a lot of, you know, Boy Scouts when I was a kid and like camping. Yeah. I always spent my time outdoors.
So it is camping with guns, really.
Exactly. So yeah.
If you break it down like that, it's actually pretty easy to pack for it.
Yeah, pretty much. So from there, it just snowballed. I went to the first skirmish that I went to was with Jody in the local field at the Amherstburg field. And eventually a couple months later, Jody's like, yo, you want to start a team? And I'm like, oh, heck yeah. So, Crywolf was born. And then from there, it just kept going and going. And I got really into gear and, I started doing like reenacting. And then from there it went to
reenacting.
Yeah.
Like 1812 kind of shit.
No, well, close. I actually did Vietnam War.
Very close in years. Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. History like puts them right next to each other. No, like I did that for a while. I absolutely loved it. I love history, so it just kind of snowballed in with the I love gear too. So eventually it turned into I started making belts.
Okay.
And I got swamped with that and I stopped for a while. And in May of 2020, so the COVID just started. I was working full time at the local lumberyard. Local lumberyard.
There we go. Tongue twister.
And I got bored at home between shifts. So I brushed off my sewing machine. I started sewing. And I started with the placard. And then it started into a chest rig. And then it turned into a plate carrier, pouches, helmet cover, uniforms, blah, 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 blah. And it just
Don't blah, blah, blah over it. Just get right into like, it, man.
All of it. Everything I could possibly make, I made. Yeah. So I worked my butt off. I put in as many hours as I possibly could. I designed 40 plus separate products. And now I'm sitting here with one released. I've got another 6 on the queue for this year. And I honestly, it's starting to snowball. It's really starting to go places. And it's moving fast, which is awesome. Extraordinary. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, but scary at the same time, right? Like you want to keep up
with
production demands, I guess, right?
Yeah. Especially being a one man band, it's difficult. So like you just got to really put in a lot of hours and work with it, right? So
yeah, dude.
Yeah. I love it. It's great.
That's fantastic. Like, so when you worked at a lumberyard and then like, what made you go like, you know what? I'm ready. Let's make the switch going from nighttime sewing to full time.
After I left the lumberyard, and I worked, I went back to work for, I did concrete finishing for well over a decade. So I went back to finishing concrete and one day, my boss was giving me a hard time and I was like, you know what? I just put my trowel down. Put my hands up and I walked off the job and I was like, that's it. I am doing this full time. I'm going to make this thing fly. I'm going to do it by the seat of my pants, but I'm going to make it work.
Fly like a dragonfly?
That's right. Like a firefly.
Yeah. Or a firefly. Sorry.
There you go. Damn close it. One. Close one. Nice product
insert
placement.
That. Thank you. I do my best. I used to do sales.
You can tell. Splendid.
That's scary, man. Like I've thought about before, like years ago, like, oh, like maybe I could do my own thing or whatever, because I'm in renovation, so I could do some carpentry here and there. Yeah. But it's like, man, that's quite the push to just put yourself out there like that. And it's been well received, I presume, right?
Like, I've it's already starting to snowball, right? So yeah. I'm already starting to kind of go places with it, and people are taking it pretty well. Like everyone seems to like the new slings, and I'm really excited to show what I plan to bring to everybody in the coming months and years.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm pumped to see what you have, because like I already have one of your slings. Is that Firefly, Dragonfly, or whatever? No, or was that called?
That was the Gunslinger. It was
Gunslinger, yeah.
It was kind of a mix and match of two different sling systems I just kind of put together and was like, hey, that's my own concept. And I'll be honest, I wasn't overly happy with it. So I spent...
Well, I want my money back.
No, I just mean like always push the envelope. Try and make your equipment excel. If the equipment that you're using makes it so that you are faster, then I've done my job right. So essentially the general idea with the new sling was, yo, make something better. And I just, you know, challenge yourself. Just always challenge yourself to try and do better. And that's simply where the Firefly came from.
Yeah. Like, how long have I had that sling for now? A year?
Over a year. I think I did New Year's release last year.
Yeah. And like, so I have that on my Classic Army M4.
Yeah.
And that bitch is on there. Like, it's not coming off.
Right on.
And yeah, it does exactly what it needs to do. Holds the gun tight to your body.
Yeah.
Easy adjust, comfortable pad, the whole thing. And what game was it? Warzone. I was rocking my DMR and I only foolishly bought one sling from you. So so the DMR, the bigger, heavier gun, gets the old shittier sling.
Oh no.
I am clearing one of the stairwells with at PRZ with the team. And I'm like, well, I'm indoors, so gun on my back, pistols drawn. I'm like, yep, all good. I do a little push out to shoot at someone.
Yeah.
And I just feel weightless.
No.
And I'm like, no.
Oh, just no.
Slow motion. I look and I just see the barrel of it just boom hit the ground. I'm like, ah, shit.
I've been waiting so long for like the right opportunity to use one of these sounds in the recordings, and I was like, this is it. This is the one we're gonna use.
That was on point.
That was man, that hurt. That's on point. But like, yeah, it helps to have a good sling because you put so much money in your guns or whatever, and then
I use one of his for my LMG for my role on the team.
Yeah, it's not light. No. Right. And it's just like, I felt stupid because I was like, oh, I don't want to spend 5 minutes taking this off and put it on, and putting it back on or whatever.
Oh, killer mistake.
Just buy another one.
Just buy more. So, yeah, it's going to be really cool. I can't wait to actually grab the one that you brought. So
You want me to pass that over to you now so you can actually take a look at it while we're
talking? Sure, yeah. So as I view this bad boy, I like to hear what it's beautifully wrapped.
Oh, yeah.
So this is how it comes. Do you shipping?
Yes, I do. I do ship. I shipped to New Zealand not too long ago. So
really?
At any far corner of the world, it doesn't matter. I will ship there.
Shit. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's open this bad boy up. Do you have any questions? Comments?
How about your goals for quality?
Because I
know that there's a lot of people out there that they go in airsoft stores and you just see the generic slings that are in there. Like what? In your words, what do you think sets this apart from those ones?
Well, I would honestly have to say just...
it doesn't gotta be harder.
My tag, my name, my this is, in my opinion, my legacy. So there's gear out there that's been serviced since early 1900s, let's say World War I. There's stuff in museums and it survived the war and it continued service and it's still around. I want my stuff to be in a museum one day. That's the goal. So quality that will last that long, get me there. I don't care if it's in a museum 100 years from now. Yeah. That's the goal.
That's great, man.
That would be awesome.
Looking at it, it looks super comfortable.
I like this detail. Hold it and whatnot. So
explain what it is.
So the detail I'm looking at is, so how do I describe this? Because listeners, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Okay.
So you got the...
Well, we'll have some pictures on the Instagram, guys.
100%.
There'll be a link to... Jake's Instagram, and do you have a Facebook page or anything?
I do. It's my Facebook is Jake Ripper, Jake the Ripper. And my Instagram is just seam_ripper_solutions. Simple perfect stuff.
Okay, well, we'll have those in the description below.
Yeah, definitely put that there. So the attachment point for the barrel end of the gun, if you will, I just like how it's actually separate from the actual moving parts of the sling. I don't even know how to describe it. Like,
I guess the best way to describe it would be, imagine a pulley system, something where you have one point or two points of attachment, and you have a single point of adjustment. So essentially, your sling, adjusts along the, I don't even know what you'd call that in terms of like a pulley, but like it would adjust along a single point of I gotta think this out. Holy cow.
I know. We can come back to it.
It's just super smooth, and like it's rigid. Like it feels fucking strong.
It's 1,000-pound test webbing. It's mil spec type 17337, I believe. So It's very good stuff. Mil spec thread, mil spec paracord, mil spec everything.
The pad is like super tight, and like it looks shaped to a body, kind of, right?
Yeah, it's contoured, so it goes from like an inch wide all the way up to 2.25, and then back down to an inch. So it actually helps weight distribution quite a bit. Mm-hmm. The pad on the sling can also be adjusted to any point where you might need it on your body, so it's actually comfortable. And the pad itself is also removable. So if you really want to run a super slick pad or sling.
Sling no pad, because they're no pad, yeah. Monsters.
Yeah, you can run a naked sling, no problem. I have a buddy of mine, Greg, with G-Tech Industries. He techs guns. He's my gun tech. He's great. I love him. I trade gear with him. It's great. I love it. He's the best guy ever. So I had him. He actually bought a piece of hardware that you can install on the open-ended sling, and it turns it into a single point sling. So you can run a 2 point or a 1 point on the same system. It's pretty cool, actually. I haven't seen anyone else do it.
That is super cool. So like he found it online, or something
yeah,
like that?
I'm not even sure where he sourced that, probably eBay or something, but yeah.
Yeah, because if he's got a link for that, I'm sure a lot of people, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, 1 point only or 2 point only. And I'm a 2 point sling guy myself. Mm-hmm. I like the freedom. I like to be able to get my arm out of my sling and be able to bump change, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not the correct saying or whatever.
Weak side transition.
Yeah. So then, and I just like the fluidity of it all.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if I have a link for that, I'm going to throw that in the description.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be cool. Yeah. I'll make sure I get in contact with them, and I'll get you a link for that.
Yeah. This is a very firm, like beautiful stitching.
Like I said, it's gotta last. If
I'm gonna compare it to my current sling and
please do
version
check
one.
Check it out. Here you go, heavy.
Yeah,
that's mint. So, Justin,
yes, sir.
Buddy, old pal, how you doing?
Good.
Good. So with Watson and Slade, you currently have one store, correct?
Yep.
One store. So, one store. One employee,
yep.
Right now, so then what's the kind of like the goal with the shop? Are you hoping to kind of move into something bigger, get more employee? Like what's kind of like the future looking for you?
I think it's always going to have like a little bit of an evolve version as time goes on. Like I would like to get a couple more employees if it grows organically to that level. Same with like the extension of the grooming line. The idea of touching base back to the community is I do want to eventually do a lot of really cool, social enterprising aspect to it. So I do want to bring out, merch with like a Watson and Slade logo.
Nice.
And then based upon like, the color of vinyl I use is going to be a dedicated, almost like a fundraiser, or proceeds will go to local organizations to help give back to the communities.
So there's like black sweater with the green, white, blue like logo. Those ones go to a certain thing.
Yeah. So the idea is to help like the local like food bank. So like that would have a certain color range. So like whether it's a hoodie, a hat, so anything associated to that, like a certain proceed will go help stock those shelves. Because it's a barbershop, I eventually also want to give back to the men's homeless shelters and stuff like that. And I want to get to the point where I could take a day or two out of the month and go to the shelters and offer my services completely pro bono. So I want to get to that type of degree of, that's awesome. Just to help the area and the community and stuff like that. Because without the community, small businesses don't exist. So it's a...
And I don't know if people know, Essex is a small town. Yeah. it's probably the smallest town I've been into.
It's got two stoplights.
Two stoplights and a whole stop sign.
Yeah.
That has not been fully shot out yet.
Now I'm just spitballing here, but hear me out.
What's up?
We bring a chair, a nice big comfy chair to the games. You can bring your tools and stuff like that. Show up a little early.
Potentially could. It might cost.
Oh, no, no. You're going to charge these guys. They ain't going to be free haircuts for the airsofters.
Charge,
but like,
charge them 20 bucks. You can help
promote the brand and things like that, too.
I thought about it. It's just with, like, say, even the product line is the bombs are heat sensitive.
Oh. Yeah. Well, so they're going to have to get a hold of you after and buy something on your online or and I have keep, it shipped to you.
We do it that way. I know I've helped out Adam and I've helped out Candy with some free stuff sending.
Well, I'm not allowed to grow a beard for work. That's why I don't have one right now. But yeah, I'd probably be right.
I do have a pre-shave oil as well as an aftershave bomb. So
sell it, buddy.
See, I don't shave while I'm home, though. That's also the other thing. So I'd have to bring it to Alberta with me.
That's probably fine. Well, it's travel size. You got
the, well, then you have to.
Okay, perfect. There's more information for people.
You're a 2-for-1 client. You got all your shaving stuff for out at work, and you got your beard stuff for when you're home.
This
man.
Is very true.
That's
also
double sales.
Before we get too far off, I'm just looking at the sling here. And the one thing I've noticed with this is you've reinforced the stitching on every point that could potentially have blowout.
Yeah. I literally engineer everything stitch by stitch. So
like, I don't mean to like just throw it back at it, but like, I was looking it over and I'm really impressed. Like every point where you would think that there's like potential for something to happen or break down. Like he has got, like,
I saw you try to break it while Justin talking. I'm like, pulling on it. I didn't buy it yet, bro.
No. That's what I mean. Like, it's just I'm talking about like the quality of it. Like I'm really noticing, like it's something that I don't see on stuff you would find in a store, like generic stuff. Right. Yeah. It's just like the one stitch through, like you really went all out on this thing. This is really cool, man.
Thank you. I know I did try my best. Like I said, this is my legacy. So like, if it's got my tag, it's got my stamp of approval. It's meant to last.
It's the quality behind anything, right?
Yeah,
so absolutely. At the end of the day, it's same with my products that I sell here is like, I'll 100% back it of the quality that's being used because like my stuff is all organic. It's good for you. Like it's,
oh, yeah, you got to hook me up with that bomb you mentioned earlier.
Actually, so I kind of have a question regarding those products.
Yeah.
How do you go about actually developing a line? Like, how does that...
Yeah, actually, just get some leaves and stuff in your backyard or what?
Because, like, I don't know anything about this stuff. So that's a genuine question, but, like, you've obviously gone through the process and you've done all this, but, like...
I can't take all the credit in the sense. So there is companies that do white labeling. So essentially it is entrusting another manufacturer, which literally everyone in the world uses a white label manufacturing structure. So you want a bottle of water, you're not the first one to produce a bottle of water. So there's companies that will mass produce. Sorry, I hit that.
It's all good.
Will mass produce products.
Okay.
So I've used a company to help develop and manufacture bottle and label.
But when it comes down to it, it's still like you get final say on how, like the kind of, how you want it to be made, the scents and stuff like that. Like
there's a portfolio or like a giant sample book that I've, I had to kind of invest, pick it up and then kind of go through. So I actually have the ability. So scalability, I could, there is, I think 20-ish cents that I could actually develop for my line.
Okay.
So right now it's just still in that organic stage where we have the old school. So it's like a little bit of a tiny bit of sandalwood with bay rum. So it's just a nice,
got that
like classic barbershop where like almost like a talc.
Yeah. You know what? Like, when we stepped into it, the first thing I noticed is the smell in this place. It smells so good in here.
Oh, it's so phenomenal.
Like it smells so good.
I'll easily record every episode here.
We'll just come back. We got the couches and everything. We're comfy.
It's so good. We've been treated really well this past like 3 episodes. Just couches galore. It's nice.
Well, the smell here is actually, it's probably half the barbershop, but Bath and Body. actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just
have those wall plugs, okay. And there's one like almost at the entrance of the shop. Ah. And then I have one like tucked in behind.
I'm still going to go with I thought mahogany it was
soaps and hand soaps and stuff. Sorry.
And he did get give Caleb a haircut, and he looks pretty damn good.
Thank you.
Super handsome.
Spiffy, I'm not going to give myself a compliment. So, like, with the pandemic going on and stuff, like, how scary was it to start up your business? Like, because you decided to do it when it started. Like,
well, personally, for my experience, it's a little bit life-changing in a way, because so my son is coming up on just being 1 year old at the end of the month.
Congratulations. So
not only have I decided on pivoting and becoming my own boss and opening up my own shop, I became a father during the pandemic.
Fuck yeah.
Wow. So that's a giant... Let that
sink
like,
in a little bit, people.
So it's just like, not only that is both, like my wife is self-employed as well, so we're both out of work.
May I ask, what does she do?
She's an esthetician, so like manicure, pedicure, nails, okay. And stuff like that.
Man, you guys are just full of beauty, eh?
Yeah.
Right on.
Runs in the family. My mother-in-law is actually a hairstylist as well. There you go. It's actually how I met my wife. My mother-in-law actually set it up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Romantic. Bridget, meet this guy, Justin. He's great. He's a wonderful baba. Oh,
so in other words, we got a couple more years before you get the little guy out to the field.
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. We got some time.
At least three.
Yeah.
But this is an airsoft show, so we should talk a little airsoft.
Let's talk airsoft, guys.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Touching back on that, so family. So I knew nothing about airsoft like literally probably like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It actually started.
5 years ago, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the newest slash almost oldest member of the team.
Well, take Jody out.
Yeah. There's a few of us, but we're... So my father-in-law has a small little property that has little bunkers, tree houses, and stuff like that. And my wife is like, "Hey, we're playing airsoft. Do you want to come?" And I was like, "What's that?"
Your wife told you about this?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Right on.
And I was like, "What is that?" She's like, "Like paintball." I was like, "Okay." So I go out, and it's just he's got a little armory set up. He's got like batteries. He's got like all the
father-in-law.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Like
he's all about it, but not to the scale that
we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've tried bringing him out to just even the skirmishes in Windsor, and just never really works out. But without them, I wouldn't have fallen down the rabbit hole, let alone gotten to the Scarfield, let alone meeting Crywolf and actually then becoming a member of Crywolf.
It's just a deep hole.
Yeah. Yes. And I started out just as an like interested in a rifleman position.
Yeah, yeah.
Got an M4, all that sort of stuff.
Which is probably the best spot to start. Yeah. Rifleman. Yes. Start there, move on.
Because it's the most action, like looking at the sniping like videos and all that sort of stuff. I was like
sniping's cool and all, but it's just like you have to put the airsoft filter onto that.
Yeah.
You're not shooting hundreds of miles or whatever. Like it's, no.
And then the Crywolf boys are like, "Well, we need a support role." And I was like, "Okay. Like, do you have one?" I was like, "No, but I have a job that allows me to spend
money,
a lot of money." And watching another YouTube personality, Alphonse, he is a support gunner.
Okay.
So he's literally just LMG. Or an MP5 he runs around, but primarily most of his videos are...
Is that why you like LMGs and MP5s?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Nice.
So then I did my research, fell down the rabbit hole even further, and came across like the Crytek LMG, and then G-Tech has hooked me up, and I spent an absorbent amount to get my gun to perform or outperform a lot of people.
Yeah.
Definitely shoots better than my stoner.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I run the LMG roll too, but you're making me look bad because I didn't do any of that research. I just said, you know what? Accuracy through volume, and that's what I stick to.
Yeah, this guy's great. Like, I could peg him a million times in 3 seconds. Let's do this. And you're just like, man, their head's down.
Yeah, but I can peg a lot of people without actually moving my gun.
Yeah.
I got a real big spread on that bitch. But to be fair, it's not like it's a gun that wasn't made to be HP8, first of all. And if it was still like at the time,
it's HP8 too.
It's HP8. So like our gun tech, Colin Brink,
tech head,
he is amazing and he has done a lot to keep that gun going. But I, by no fault of his own, it's just because of the gun itself. It's just, you know,
some platforms work better than others for when you're doing upgrades.
Like I'm sure if I went in there and I said, "Hey, Colin, like give me an LMG that you think would work best in HP8 for me," he'd be able to build me like a monster, just like Greg would. But I don't know. There's something about my Stoner, and I love how fucking loud it is.
Something that shoots left, ridiculous. Right, up and down. It's just
It's okay. It's not like terrible.
Watching that. Shooting that thing, in my experience, because I ran it once for like 5 minutes.
No, you ran my whole rig, and you're like, "Oh, this weighs too much."
Well, I was like, "This is stupid." It's like watching a Dance Dance Revolution thing with all the arrows.
Left, right, left, right, up, down.
So that's what I mean. I just throw a lot of BBs downfield, and we're good to go.
Yeah,
it keeps heads down. Does its job and let my team move. So
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, your research is making me look bad. Just showing me up.
After this, send me a link to that YouTuber, and I'll make sure Heavy watches.
and what's nice is he's a border guy. He plays, his home base is actually Michigan. So he's actually not that far from us. So that's eventually what I want, like once this pandemic kind of lifts, is I do eventually want to try to get to his home field and like play. Just,
that would be really
just
as cool.
Just to see if I could come across him and just like thank you for like turning me on to this particular role more, because his gun is like HPA tuned and he's shooting 0.32s out of his. Oh, but he's also sponsored and he's a YouTube personality, right? Yeah. So
it's a little
there's that funding there. But Jake knows, he's seen my gun perform on the field. Like at the end of the day, like if you're within 50 feet, I'm hitting your head, or I could hit your hand. Like the accuracy on it, if I want just a little feathering of the entire gun will get that spread. But for the most part, like if I need to keep your head down, I'm literally hitting
your head.
No, that's awesome, man. That's great.
Yeah. So it would be, I think it would be pretty fun for a couple of us to kind of roll out as a squad for a change. Cause we're always on the other side of each other's barrels.
Yeah.
Am I right? So it's like, I think that'd be fun. Like, get your LMG out there.
I find I'm more like cowboy esque cause I'm still so new to the airsoft like community where like, in some cases I'll use cover, or because
you are the cover.
I am the cover, and my gun is loud. And as long as I'm just like spraying, I'll stand out in the open.
I want to see a battle of whose LMG is louder. Because Heavy Stoner, I remember Icebreaker 3. You ran it there, didn't you? So just playing or whatever, and I know Heavy's out there, and all I hear is ga 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 ga. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Or playing at PRZ. It's like, where's Heavy? It's like, oh, he is in Northfield. You can just hear it.
And it's just like wildly loud. I think it's got a distinctive.
Oh, you know it's me. It. Like, it's just the way that the gun runs.
Yeah. So, Scar events that you mentioned before. So, what is that field? Like, who owns it? Like, where is it at?
We it's a part of the
sport. It's a question for both of you, if
it's
Jake wants to talk.
Part of the Sportsman's Club in Windsor, that most of our members are actually a part of the Sportsman's Club as well, so we help support them.
Okay.
They give us, I think it's 3 to 4 acre parcel in the back.
Solid.
So mixed trails, we've developed a couple outbuildings, and we're slowly like developing a tack town, and there's like a sniper alley, we have trench work, we have all the kind of like really cool scenarios to play. Typically it's a 20 on 20
and a cute little bundle.
Yeah,
that sounds nice. I think it'd be really cool to come out. I really wanted to come out and play like this weekend, but it turns out wrong weekend.
Yeah, should have came next weekend. Oh, man.
I know, but you know, everyone's like, oh yeah, the 12th, that sounds good. Sounds good. So here we are.
You guys do a lot of training as a team too, right? So
Yeah.
Where do you do that at, if you don't mind?
Sometimes we do at the Scarfield, and sometimes I've got a private place where...
That's your own property, right?
Yes, it's my own property where...
We will not say where.
Undisclosed location.
It's in Canada.
It's somewhere.
Shit, they found us.
We get together and train, and we drill fundamentals like high ready, low ready, you know, transitions, weak side transitions, all that lovely stuff. We just try and work together as a team, find each other's flaws, and push it. Like we nice. Enjoy this,
yeah.
We love doing this. So, yeah,
I like that. Like I when Nomad first started, we were very much like, we're bringing beers for everyone.
Yeah.
And we're going to kick ass. That was the goal. And it's blossomed to more than just that, which is nice.
Yeah.
But like we used to do, like we, especially before COVID was happening, we were training, you know, semi-regularly kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we play video games and stuff like that together to kind of keep the communications and some kind of movements, you know, sharp, right? Like,
yeah.
Or play like Ground Branch or whatever on PC. So I try to clear rooms as accurately as I can.
I mean, like, there's no real difference between pieing a corner in a video game and pieing a corner in real life, right? Like, it's you, I mean.
Only difference is footwork.
Obviously, yes. But I mean, like,
at don't least cross your visual. Feet.
You know, trip yourself up. Do up your bootlaces.
Oh, I've done it.
Oh,
I've done it. Like,
so many times.
So, how muddy does Scar get?
Incredibly.
Perfect. Bring boots?
Yeah, and rubber bags for your feet.
Yeah. Really?
Or
what?
Or honestly, just as long as you have like true rubber boots, like there's no judging. Like you don't have to be.
There's no judging. The weight is.
Yeah, you don't have to be all 100% milsim of tactical boot. Like,
yeah,
I've even worn rubber boots in my like in the gear because there's some areas that you would wade through. That's like 6 to 8 inches or 10 inches of water. So yeah, it's just like
the last 2 inches that'll get you something.
You know, I caved at the last game, Dark Zone, that at the end, the very end of last season.
Yep.
Same thing. I was like, you know what? I know it's going to be super muddy. I just went to Walmart. Actually, a bunch of us went to Walmart. A
bunch.
And we cleared out the rubber boot section.
Nice.
Because I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wear warm socks.
They were also insulated rubber boots, weren't they?
Some were, yeah.
As long as the rubber boots, you're basically on a great start.
Yeah, but hey, at the end of the game, like I know there was a lot of guys that struggled. Were you guys at that game?
No, we didn't attend.
That's okay.
I think that's even more out of town for them than PRZ is.
Yeah, oh yeah, because it's past PRZ.
Yeah.
That's a long drive for you guys. And that's the only, I never realized how far you guys actually have to go to 10 games at PRZ.
Yep.
That is commitment, guys.
You're welcome.
Like, that is awesome. Wow. No, for real, like that's awesome.
Yeah, you guys give us good competition. You drive like what 10 hours to get there?
Depends on how many stops we make. Yeah. You know,
we try to help the community out, and we try to do all the airsoft store stops.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Like, oh, so you do a Costco run for everyone, pretty much
for the most part. Like we
shit. Okay. I thought I probably misheard it, where Mitch was the shopaholic. He is, isn't he?
we're all guilty about like finding new little toys and new little things of like attachments to our equipment and stuff like that. Or like Danny's really good at helping, like figuring out things. Mitch is the little shopaholic, but
yeah,
we'll stop at like Airsoft Depot sometimes. We'll do Heroes because they're actually better in person.
Much better in person.
As we all know.
They do have great customer service.
Yeah.
It's not even a bash. Everyone just knows Hero is better in person.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but the other stores, like, you will find more unique things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing too, right? Because you're not. Because do you guys have any airsoft stores?
We have one, Sore Hobby, but like
limited,
mm-hmm. And then primarily, I think they source it all of it from like Evic. So it's just like,
okay, yeah, like Actually, I heard Evic doesn't ship to Ontario anymore. Really?
Depending on what it is. Like, there is so many restrictions based upon the laws. So, like...
Laws are nuts.
Yeah.
As long as the airsoft gun shoots above 366, then things will still ship. But unfortunately, at our customs, they're so particular that they could be seized. So that's why, like, you either try to already find it in Canada.
Yeah.
And then we have to pay even more premium because they do all that sort of stuff. So it's like just sourcing things in Canada kind of.
Man, you know so much more about shipping than I do already. Like, I'm like, I don't know what they have to be to get into Canada. I don't pay attention to that. Am I good for the field? Yeah.
Well, you and I are really lucky because we can just go in NQ, right?
Well, that's a designated airsoft store for us. Well, we have Niagara Quartermaster. We have DMZ Paintball, which they do. Well, their store is
Ryan's amazing at DMZ. Like, I bug him all the time.
Yeah, no, oh,
and I've spent quite a bit of money from him, Andy.
Andy Airsoft.
Yeah.
I bought one thing from the guy, and it was a little Magwell insert for my AK.
Did he give you Werther's?
No. What?
Yeah. Periodically, he'll give you like a little thank you card and like candy, like a whole Werther's.
I think you gotta spend more than $8 on his store, though.
Wow, that's awesome. Because
it was just like a little 3D printed thing. Because LCT, the Magwells, they suck. Like it's all hollow and stuff. So when you go to clip your AK in, there's nothing stopping it from going too far in.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll show you next time. Because I don't know why they do that. It's weird. So you have to buy there's a metal one that they have with their stamp logo and stuff on it, which just pops in and you're all fine dandy. But like, I couldn't find one anywhere. So then I was like, well, Bobo, Andy's Airsoft. I've heard good things. I went on their website. Super easy. There it was, a 3D printed version. I was like, I think it was like $8 or something like that, like minuscule. So I was like, fuck it, I'll pay for shipping. It costs more in shipping than it does that. It came within the week, and I was like,
yeah, he's pretty good at turning it around.
Yeah, that's key when it comes to online. Yeah,
absolutely.
Do it quick. Do it now.
From watching him on social media, I believe he just opened up an actual store. Like more.
He doesn't actually have a store?
Or he expanded. He essentially, I think, was like, I've been watching him on social, and he semi-relocated to something, so now he's got a bigger area to actually help a little bit more. So he's got like, he does live shows or Q&A's and stuff like that, just every once in a blue moon if you follow him on Facebook, like the actual store.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. Well, I was telling myself I gotta get off social media more, but now I gotta get back in.
It's like he has a little bit of a different insight because it's a different part. Like, he's on East Coast and he's on an island and he's handling this type of shipping. Like,
Like within the week, I got my part. I'm like, wow, how is it that this son of a bitch?
I believe it's Prince Edward Island. So they're on an island. And
wow.
Yeah. That is wild. I gotta shop online more.
Same here.
Don't tell my wife that.
Shh, don't listen.
She doesn't anyways. That's why we speak so freely now.
I'd be amazed if she listened to this.
Yeah, I mean, she
was on an episode.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think, you know.
But 2 T's in a podcast.
It was really funny. She hears us talk enough as it is. I don't think she wants to listen to this in her time. To herself, if that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Freaking mint, man. So, Jake.
Yeah.
I can't help but notice. You have a bag.
Oh, I got a bag.
And a binder.
Right. I do have a bag and a binder.
What's in it?
All right, well.
Is it airsoft related?
Yes, it is.
All right,
it's all gear related, but close enough.
Airsoft gear.
Airsoft gear. Okay, so.
I have to ask, though.
Yeah.
Can you use real steel stuff with it?
Absolutely. That's why that's what I designed it for.
Mm.
So like all my mag pouches, I test with real mags, all that stuff, right? So I test AEG, gas blowback, and real steel mags so that everything works.
Is it all M4 or is there AK variants maybe?
Multi-caliber compatible. So 7.62 and 5.56 mags.
Same pouch. Now you're speaking some good language. So. Yeah. Let's see what you got there, guys.
Okay, I'll start this off with, I had a dream 7 years ago.
I had a dream.
Right?
Wait. Do you want some inspirational music?
Yeah.
Please. Make me sound like the President of the United States, but a good one. 7 years ago, I had a dream. I was going to tear apart my old plate carrier and turn it into something far better. 7 years later, I finally did it.
Wow.
This is the amp Mach 4.
Dang. Tell me what I'm looking at here, boy.
Okay, so it's a multi-caliber placard. So essentially it holds 5.56 and 7.62 magazines. It has removable and optional Kydex inserts as well as adjustable flaps that aren't with it currently, but I do have those in my bag. And the retention is also adjustable. You have little hot spots, I call them, for attaching buckles to convert it into a chest rig. And it's got optional G-hooks for attaching it to your plate carrier with Velcro clearly on the back.
Oh, shit. Okay. So so the hooks are Velcroed on the strap that's sewn in as well.
The hooks go on there. And if it's manufactured so that the hardware can actually be removed. So if your plate carrier takes 1-inch buckles, it can use 1-inch buckles. If it takes 3/4-inch buckles, it'll do that. If it's G-hooks, it's G-hooks. Like, it works.
Fuck. Now so, we're talking. This is product, boys and girls.
So essentially, that's not really the end of where it like, I thought that would be the end, right? Like, I tore apart my plate carrier. I turned it into that and a bunch of other pouches and stuff. And I was like, yo, that's great.
Yeah. So far, this is looking awesome. This looks like something I would run.
But I cleaned it up and I made it better.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So for the average Joe, could you take that and like hook it onto you like, someone with a Shadow Strategic chest rig and like with the like cross compatible and stuff like that?
Well, as long as the plate carrier or chest rig has like a loop Velcro field on the front of it and some kind of attachment point like buckles or a little loop for a G-hook, it'll work on there. So like Cry Precision JPC 2.0s, AVSs, Ferro Concepts, FCPC, V5, stuff like that. Like the harder hitting plate carriers, it'll go on.
Letters just said and a numbers. Lot of stuff.
Letters and numbers and jibber jibber.
I'm sure there's some real steel guys.
I just got
out
lost and I'm here.
That know that stuff.
Honestly, like, okay, so you're holding the Mach 4.
Mach 4? Let's look at the. This is Mach 17.
That's Mach 6. That's Mach 6. Now, I
have a 5.
Mach 5 and the other Machs are all at home, actually. I ran out of space in my bag.
Oh, no.
So that's essentially, it's the same thing. It's just cleaned up. It's got bigger pouches, so it'll take 2.762 mags per pouch. If you
2.762 mags per pouch. Okay.
I've actually watched someone shove a HK417 mag in that pocket, and I was like, "Yo, really? That actually fits." So
damn son.
Adjustments totally adjustable, so you can actually like flip the thing right upside down, give it a shake, and you ain't gonna lose your mags.
Yeah, like, I just shook it. Kydex, like in the bottom of it.
It's basically like two chips.
Okay,
sandwich.
Essentially, it's like the Kydex is built bent into a bit of a U, so it creates like reverse tension with when it's put into the pouches. So it's integrated right in there, and you can literally slip it right out. There's no Velcro involved. It just slips in and slips out. So it's like a zero gravity feature, I guess.
I like the that it's got a bit of a wide mouth to it.
Yes, that's
you just kind of slap it in.
I've got a bunch of these at that I've been handing out at the field just for guys to test, and everybody says, oh my God, the re-index of my magazine is so much better because it's got a very wide top. It's actually geared for 7.62, like large mags. So when you're in a pinch and you're moving really quickly and you need to reload, when you're trying to shove a mag back in a pouch with like elastic retention, you're going to notice you're going to get caught up and stuff. With this, when you're moving really quick, there's no catch points.
So like with my rig, I got the Emerson insert letters and numbers. Whatever brand
some
it
kind
is.
Of rig, some yeah, kind of rig.
I got
okay.
an Emerson rig. It looks like the Haley Strategic kind of thing.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay,
it was like a little three across and a little pouch, whatever kind of
standard
thing.
Stuff. Very high speed, love it.
Super speed,
yeah.
Lightweight, absolutely love it. But reindexing can be cumbersome, right? Like if I'm generally when I'm in a bit of a heated situation and I'm reloading, I will drop, pull, and go.
Yeah.
But with other rigs, sometimes I don't want to drop it. It's muddy out. I don't want my shit to get dirty.
Fair enough.
Quick insert is kind of the thing to do. But with the, like you said, with where it's the retention system of the elastic bands, I have to do like a, almost like a little bit of a J hook, kind of like to pull the rubber band back with the mag to shove it back in.
Yep.
So something with this, such a wide fucker on it, that's, That's smooth.
I made it so that, or I bent the Kydex so that it's a little different on each side. So your mag actually sits, if you have like a foam board on your plate carrier or a pouch, an admin pouch, the mags sit out away from your chest. So it's so much easier to actually get your hand around your magazine to draw it from your pouch instead of your hand colliding with your foam board or whatever it gets in the way.
Yeah, you can see that with like that. Look at that side view.
Yeah, it spreads Eagle quite well. Honestly, it's been developed just time and time and time again.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Really like how it's got metal clips on it too.
Yeah, actually, the G hooks. I was really hesitant at first because I wasn't sure if it would be a better or worse option for mounting hardware. Mm-hmm. But I found that the G hooks actually work a lot better just because it's kind of run on it's metal. It's metal, so it's not going to snap like a buckle would. So,
yeah.
Again, just make it last as long as you can.
It's nice, right? Like, I mean, with the pouches being so universal, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily need to switch out placard for placard because you don't need to go from like an M4 to a 308 or whatever.
That's right.
But, I mean, are you maybe developing something that's like 2M4 pouches and then like an admin thing or like little pistol pouches or anything like
no,
that?
No, but you can definitely shove a pistol and probably a smaller holster inside of that pouch and it'll fit. So you have...
Because then that's when I would want it to be able to like swap out my placards or
absolutely,
whatever, right?
Yeah. It helps that the Kydex inserts are actually formed so that they're multi-caliber too, so you don't have to swap out your inserts. You literally just put your front flap on or placard on, and you're ready to go. That's it. There's no changing it.
Yeah, just take off the crappy one and put yours on.
I wouldn't say crappy.
Hey, there's you didn't say of, it. I said it.
There's a lot of great companies out there. There really are, honestly.
Oh, for sure. But, oh, yeah, well, that's the thing, too. Like, you're competing with big-name brands,
yes.
right? Like, Emerson, Shadow. Like, there's a lot of places that have the gear out there on... like budget friendlies mm-hmm. and you got like Persec makes some really cool stuff.
Absolutely.
I can't think off the top of my head other places, so insert them here.
Yeah.
But like, so where do you find yourself in the mix of these companies?
Well, to be completely honest, I've spent my whole airsoft quote unquote career. I've spent that running mostly real steel equipment, so like Cry Precision and all the bigger name companies.
Yeah.
So when I started making my own equipment, it has to be this level of quality. It has to stand out. It has to work. It cannot fail. And if it fails, I have to make it so it's better so it will not fail. So
no pressure.
I put plenty of pressure on myself.
Lots of pressure, man.
So essentially I'm setting the bar as high as I possibly can for myself anyway, with the quality so that hopefully everything actually stays together and lasts a long time as it has so far.
I mean, I have no issues with my sling and you've made a better one. Like
I'm not saying the old sling's junk. It's just different.
Different, yeah, I would say different.
Just a little different.
Made different. Like, if I was running an LMG, mm-hmm. I think I would use the Slickster. Slickster, is it called?
The Gunslinger.
Gunslinger, sorry. I would use the Gunslinger on that. I feel like that's...
it. I think so, too, honestly. It would.
Because it would be a bit more... just with the way the straps are and everything like that, I feel as an LMGer, I wouldn't change my sling position too often?
No, I don't think you would. It would.
No, Mr. LMG man.
I've pretty well, like, I have one side set to like a Q point on the stock, and then the other, I found this clip from Amazon. It's like a tack, like, I don't know where I found it, but I did some research and it goes on to the top, and I literally just
have mount, walk away.
Yeah,
walk
so down. I literally could just pick it up, and then it's in the position where whether I tighten or loosen, it's in a very good, favorable position that
I'm
set it and forget it.
Yeah, that's kind of like how I run it with my M4. Like, I got the A1s, like, solid stock and stuff like that, which is always cool. And I feel when it comes to slings, a lot of people don't think about those stocks when you did your sling designs, were you thinking about those styles as well? Or did it kind of conveniently work out?
Well, to be honest, when I came up with my sling design, I just kind of sat in my room for about 6 hours with a bunch of pieces of random webbing and hardware and was like, oh, sweet, this works.
Yeah.
So
you got to start somewhere.
It's a lot of trial and error.
All trial and error completely. So essentially, once you find something, you try and work with it, make it evolve as far as you can get it, and make it so that it's multi-platform. It works for as many people as possible. So
hard when it's just like one sling.
So true. So true. Like I'm never going to be able to hit the mark with making everybody happy, but
yeah,
I can make a group of people happy. So I'm very happy with that.
Justin, send me the links to all that kind of stuff and we'll throw it in the description for people that are curious.
Sounds good.
Also, we will have pictures posted at the time that this episode airs,
whenever that is.
So that people are trying to listen to this and be like, what are you talking about?
Are you cool?
Have some kind of visual that goes with it.
Right? Yeah. Do like side-by-side comparisons,
absolutely,
photos and stuff like that. I think that'd be cool. So people, more stuff.
I got lots of stuff.
Yeah. Christmas morning.
So that one would be the first generation chest rig. That's the one I wore at
Gen 1.
Icebreaker 4.
Icebreaker 4. I'm trying to remember how I played that game. Probably not well.
I think we all fared fairly well at Icebreaker 4.
The weather was okay. It wasn't the sweat one.
It wasn't the sweat one. The Icebreaker 5s.
Yeah. I think it was 3 that I played at. Yeah. It was cold.
3 was cold.
Actually, I remember
A video of Heavy trying to make a cup of coffee with a metal water jug or whatever and a blowtorch.
And I'm like, that's before I bought a jet boil.
I'm like, what are you doing there, guy? He's like, I'm making coffee. Like, okay.
It worked.
Oh,
it
that's
worked.
Operator.
It worked.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, looking at this bad boy now. So which gen is this? 1?
That would be 1.
Gen 1?
Yeah, that would be Gen 1 because I got a prototype off somewhere that's just before that, but it's not much different. So that's...
It says number 1...
That's my
ready kit.
Rayleigh. Oh, that's Rayleigh? That's my roommate's daughter's name. I'm giving her that chest rig when she's old enough to play.
Oh, so I don't just get to walk away with this.
Sadly, not. It's but you can test it at one of the Milsims coming up.
Oh, okay. I'm down.
Please,
okay.
Thank you.
Please, yes, please.
Awesome.
I'm saying please to you, son. That's exciting. Yeah, it's. That's super sleek.
Thank you.
Sleek.
It, like I said, it's the old one, so it's missing a bunch of features that I've integrated into the new ones.
Okay, right on.
But it started me out, and it's what really got me going with, let's sew my own gear. Let's see how this goes. And it held up the season, so I was like, sweet, let's do it again, and then again, and then again. And
so with this one, the Kydex 4 for the pouches, mm-hmm. How are they? So they're in there with Velcro instead of Molly.
They're in there with Velcro. It's more of an industry standard. That was before I started doing things a bit differently. The goal's always been to create something different so that it stands out, essentially. So
is it 2 pieces in here or is it?
Single piece is just bent like a bit of a U.
Okay, because they got a lot of play to it as if it was almost 2.
No, it's pretty flexible stuff. Like not Velcro.
Multi-tool there.
Kydex is vinyl, so it's super flexible, like vinyl sliding, right? So easy to work with, and you just heat it up with a heat gun and bend it to your will. It's awesome stuff, super easy.
Yeah, I've played with it a couple of times myself.
Yeah?
This is a really cool rig, but like we said before, we'll definitely put it on our page, like take photos of it and all that kind of stuff, so that way people see what we're looking at.
It is a little hard to describe things like this
hard.
On an audio platform.
Very
but
true.
Very hard. But I am a big fan that you got a 3-web Molly on either side.
Yeah, 3x3 is key, I find. A lot of companies create 5-inch by 5-inch GP pouches, so they tend to mount by 3x3s.
Well, because like for me personally, if the only thing I would add to it is my dangler pouch, because it's got some certain stuff to it.
Choice, nice.
Do a little radio pouch on the side on my right side, and then for the left side, I leave it open for my PTT.
Oh, very cool!
Boom!
Yeah, simple
set
stuff.
You up, son.
Love it. Hell yeah!
So then, because I mean, I don't want to run too long with just kind of going oohs and ahs. Are you looking into doing certain pouches like admin pouches, radio pouches, stuff like that? Like, what's your future looking like?
As far as pouches go, I'm looking like it's probably going to be next year. Like, I don't have time this year for pouches, as this year I'm focusing more on my chest rig. But I do have a couple pouches in development.
Okay, cool.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, man, there's so much. I feel so bad because this bag is deep.
I'll just give you the one to toy with.
But one to toy with?
It's essentially
okay, right on.
The same kind of idea as the Placards. It's got a bunch of different retention styles, and it's, you know, Molly and belt mountable. Mm. It's a pretty standard pouch for what's out there nowadays.
Yeah, it's fucking sturdy, guy. I'm trying to play with it.
So looking at all this stuff, man, you can really tell that you put a lot of passion into this stuff too. It's not like this isn't something that you just decided to do as like a whatever. Like this is a real passion.
Yeah.
Well, the goal has always been to, well, the goal is currently to serve those who serve. So if like you got to have the guys running the best quality stuff that you can, so that if it makes a difference, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
So,
give them an extra edge.
Yeah, I want to be able to make it so that they're the tip of the spear, edge of the knife. So if it saves a second in a reload or makes your rifle not get caught up on the sling, on the rest of your gear, whatever, then I've done my job right. Simple as that.
It's freaking awesome. Before we close, I have a question for Justin regarding barbershop shit.
Ooh.
Okay. For those who do not know, because it's definitely not me, when it comes to beard products, oils, butters, balms, whatever, what is the correct application for this? I feel some beard people need to know.
Each person's going to do their own regimen in their own way, but the way that I've set up my line, it's a three-step product. So you have your face wash or beard wash. So when you're in the shower, do what you got to do. You then can add your oil when your beard is still a little bit damp, get that going. And then go around with your business. And then as you're heading out the door, use the balm, because the balm will have it has a little bit of a beeswax property to it. So it's, the balm represents almost like a hair product, like a gel or a pomade. Shape
to it.
And it keeps keeps all the little hairs neat and tidy. So that's the three step. And that's usually why I try to sell it as a bundle. So you get the three products. That way you're good to go. And the butter is, I don't currently run a butter, but it's possibly something I'm going to do. The butter is just another moisturizer or conditioner to the beard as well as the skin underneath. So that's also the products that you want to research is like, are they natural ingredients? Are they going to have an alcohol content to them? Because alcohol, when it comes to hair, it's a drying product.
Yeah, it dries like crazy.
You're going to either dry out your facial hair, and then you're going to dry out the skin and mess up the pH balance of your skin. So then that's why you would have the beard drift. So the dandruff of the beard is because it's just the lack of moisture to your face. So my products, because they are all natural ingredients to them, it keeps the face nice and soft, moisturized, and conditioned, as well as all the hair a part of it.
And you ship.
And I do ship.
And you do ship.
Yeah.
And we know that for sure now.
Got it from the horse's mouth, everyone. So as we're closing, guys, do you have any...
Actually, I one thing.
Oh, please.
Crywolf, you guys know what games you're going to go to this year?
Oh, yeah.
Icebreaker for sure.
Well, I would...
That's a really? Shit game. That's horrible. Kidding. It's a great game. We just
I think about this year we've discussed that we're going to try just a few different games to...
Get out there, spread your legs.
Yeah. So I think we've discussed maybe doing Warzone because a couple of the guys loved that style last year.
I was there. It was fantastic.
Awesome. So because I think the size of our squad, we actually might try to get two separate.
Yeah, you guys can split up and run two little things, right?
Yeah, so we might do that.
Jake was there, right? Yeah.
Warzone,
Yeah.
You know what's going to be really interesting about it? If you guys run two little squads at Warzone, when you guys have to fight each other. Because I know from experience that fighting against you guys can be a pain. So I can't wait till you guys got to go up against each other and you know each other's moves. That's going to be really interesting to see.
I'm going to sit and I'm going to wait. Even when I'm dead, I'm not even going to respond. I'm going to watch them have to fight each other. And I'm going to pull up my phone and just have Barbie Girl play. Like, eat it, suckers.
But yeah, I so think we've discussed Warzone.
You'll be attending Icebreaker, I assume.
Icebreaker.
Because you're running it.
That's
a given.
On our last episode, we were talking to Jody. I'm not sure if it made it into the episode or not. But they were discussing traveling to different fields and like checking out different places and stuff like that. So that it's going to be interesting too. So
for me, like I'm like still new to the whole big Milsim. So like my like the discussion of going to Milsim. So my first one for my team was Nightfall. Like a couple of years ago, was my first big throw in.
I think that's a big one for a lot of people. That's a big first one for most people.
But just like for new to the role of a support, as well as new to the like the team, like that was the first big like
support role is completely different than Rifleman.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So it was out of my element. The team was awesome. A lot of very supportive. How are you doing? How are you holding up? And like for my first milsim and lugging the big heavy gun around. I think I was still in the fight for about 15 out of the 18 hours.
That's impressive, nice. Man.
Which is a long time.
It's a long time.
Some people take 5 hours to have a sit down, you know.
Like it's an adrenaline rush. We're playing dress up and we're playing with toys, like at the end of the day, and it's just
we're not military trained, and we're not training day in, day out just to do this stuff, right?
So it is interesting to see even going against people, and it's just like, I don't like it's playing like Call of Duty in real life. Yep. Like, I don't know. Like, it's
Battlefield. Call of Duty sucks.
I don't really play a lot of video games, so like, that's the thing. It's just like reference points, but it's just fun to get out there and just hang out with everyone and have a good time. Like that's
great.
It's airsoft at the end of the day. It's funny how some people take it a little over extreme. The top. They get butt hurt, but
they take it a little too extreme. They make a podcast. They're just dumb people.
And with that, guys, if you are listening and you see these guys out at the field, and go up, say hi, you know, these two guys, like we got here early shooting the shit, very easygoing people.
Got a
great to talk
haircut.
To. So go up, introduce yourself, you know, build those connections, because if Crywolf does anything extremely well is building connections within the community. They do such a good job with that kind of stuff.
Spread that love.
But before we do have to give a thank you to our sponsors.
I was about to say that.
Black Cell Promotions.
Keanu.Airsoft.
Keanu.
Live stream.
Is it Keanu.Airsoft?
Yeah.
Well, he does his live stream show, for those of you who don't know, every Thursday night at 8:00. He kind of goes off of the news for the week and things like that. He puts up a question on his Instagram so you can answer, and there's a pretty good chance that he'll have that, and then that kind of leads to a discussion, so on and so forth.
Yeah, first person that does make it into his live stream is Punk Girl of the Week. We got Set Media that does photography and videography. Super talented there. And then we also got I Cut Vinyl, which made our stickers.
Oh, also, awesome we got a sticker now. We got Watson and Slade.
Oh, we have a Watson Slade sticker now.
Yeah, it's on the case. So there you go. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been great. Like you guys are.
It's been super chill.
It's been great talking to you guys.
I appreciate
it. It's good to see you guys outside of an airsoft event too.
It's so weird seeing each other in civilian clothes.
Where's your multicam? Really
What side are you on?
I'm going to throw on this rig so I look normal.
I think, Caleb and I might have to walk in our chest rigs next time.
Put my bucket on and everything. It'd be great.
It was a fun time, and I'll give you guys like a promo code to kind of air for when this gets released.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Nice.
To help the airsoft community to have that tactical beard. So that way you guys
absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome.
We'll throw that into the description, because at the time of recording, we obviously don't have it.
No.
But we got some time. Caleb, any closing remarks?
Not a whole lot, guys. I'm just really appreciative of you guys having us over. It is a bit of a drive, so it's nice to be able to actually like get together and hang out for a bit. And thanks for the cut, bro.
You're welcome.
any final words of wisdoms, anything like that from you guys? Follow your dreams.
Follow your dreams and ever forward.
A good one that Keanu likes to go with is check in on those low maintenance friends.
Yeah.
100%.
We need a closing song. Do you guys give me some time? closing time?
Closing time.
Yes, please.
Oh, God. Barbershop's closed up, son.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know.